Good morning. Thanks for joining New Life Community Church this morning. This is July 8th, 2018, and we're very happy that you've decided to join in and listen this morning. We just want to mention that we are having communion at the end of the service, so if you wish, you may want to prepare some juice, some bread, that you can join with us wherever you're at for communion. Now we're going to tune in to our morning message.
The last couple weeks, I've been talking about our Christ-like reflection. How many looked in the mirror this morning? Anybody look in the mirror? Some of us maybe should have looked in the mirror. No. Right? And using that analogy, just to remind ourselves or to help us understand that we look in the mirror to see our outward appearance, but we have to look into God's Word and look at the person and character of Jesus to see our spiritual reflection, to see what we look like on the inside and see what God wants to do there. And we know two things happen when we look into God's Word and Jesus and start seeing a reflection. We see two things happen. One, we see our sin, we see our failure, we see our inability to be righteous in and of ourselves. And so we see a need. But the second thing that happens is that we see how much God loves us. We see how much that he has reached out to us. We see that he sent Jesus to come and make us whole again so that we can have the reflection we were created to have. And so we've been looking at that reflection. And the first Sunday we looked at how God wants to wash us spiritually. He washes us and he continues to wash us even day by day as we get our feet dirty in this world. He washes us. The next week, we looked at a passage, and when they had an encounter with Jesus, it says that they feared God, and they put their faith in Jesus, and they suddenly realized that they had to cut some things out of their life. They knew it wasn't of God, and they brought all their scrolls of sorcery and witchcraft. They brought them all together, and they burned them. And so that's part of how God cleanses us. As we begin to see Jesus, there's things that we just... that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I want to get rid of that. This morning, I want to look at a passage in John chapter 17, just a few verses. John chapter 17, verses 14 to 16. And Holy Spirit, we just ask for your presence here to be our teacher and our guide. Impress your word, your truth that you want to share with us today upon our heart. Amen. John 17, 14 to 16, it's up there in the New International Version. This passage, this is Jesus praying to the Father for the disciples. So Jesus is talking to the Father, just like we prayed earlier. He is talking to the Father for his disciples, and he says, I, Jesus, have given them, your disciples, your word. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of this world. This idea that Jesus had shared with them the truth of who the Father was and that relationship, they had come to faith and were following Jesus. As a result, there can be opposition. Even though they've come to faith, Jesus goes on to pray. He says, my prayer, Father, is that you wouldn't take them out of this world, because Jesus understood that we do have a mission. We have a purpose. We are supposed to be here. Matthew talks about how we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We're here for a reason. We have a purpose. So Jesus is praying, don't take them out of this world, but at the same time, protect them. Protect them from the evil one. You know, it's a good thing to pray protection over yourself, over your family, over your children, over your brothers and sisters, over the church. It's good to pray protection over our global workers, that they would be protected from the evil one. It's good to pray protection over our Christian politicians, right, as they stand up. I was always admired Brad Wall and how he wasn't afraid to share his faith publicly. But, you know, it doesn't take very much, and suddenly those politicians are under scrutiny. So we need to pray protection over our leaders that are standing up for truth. We need to pray for those that go ahead and do the work in legislation to try to bring God and God's truth and God's morals back into legislation. And he goes on, he seems to emphasize this, that they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Verse 17, if you have it in front of you there, says, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. From them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. He says, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Again, this idea of holding up this Bible, and as we get this message, as we receive Jesus, it sets us apart. That word sanctify means to set apart. Set apart for God's purposes. That idea, too, of being free from sin and moving towards purity. Being set apart unto God. So he's saying, pray, continue to do that sanctifying work in them through your word. And he says, as you have sent me into the world, I send them into the world. Again, that idea of don't take them out of the world. No, they have a mission. They have a purpose. I'm sending them into this world. You and I need to see ourselves as people with a mission, with an agenda that the Father has given us. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We know that Jesus was set apart. He set himself apart. But what is he saying here? I think it's more than just being free from sin as he talks here. It says, for them I sanctify myself. I think he's going as far as saying that I have made myself obedient unto the Father, even unto the cross, even unto death. You know, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart for that mission, so that others might be saved. Others might be truly sanctified. So because of what he did, we can be set apart. It's from this passage that you may have heard the phrase that we say in church sometimes or Christian circles, in the world but not of the world. We recognize that when he's talking about world here, he is not talking about a physical place. He's not talking about the globe. He's not talking about the dirt, the trees, the lakes, and the ocean. When he's talking about world in this context, he's talking about the world system. He's talking about a godless system, worldliness. He's saying, you were once a part of that, but aren't anymore. Now you are part of the kingdom of God. There's some other scriptures that refer to us as aliens of this world, right? We're not from here. We're citizens now of the kingdom of heaven. We are set apart. And I think it's a little bit like perspective. When Jesus said we're not of this world, when we came to faith, there was a shift that happened, a shift in understanding. Our perspective became different. You know, Larry, if you were to describe your house, I'll ask Lori. Lori, if you were to describe your house, if you were to, I just got points with Larry. If you were to describe your house, what would you tell people? The long pink house on the corner, right? Yeah, and somebody else might say, no, your house is a brown rectangle. What color are your shingles? Brown. Your house is a brown rectangle, right? Because from the perspective of the sky, as they're flying by over their house, they don't see the pink house. They don't see the house number on there. They don't see that, right? They see a brown rectangle. It's a matter of perspective. And when I became a Christian, everything shifted for me in my perspective, right? I began to see that my life had a purpose, that my life was not my own, that I was a creation of God and that God had a plan for my life. I don't live for me alone. Even my future is different. I understand what my future is, and so my values change. My values, my interests in the things of this earth are, I realize this is only temporary. It's not eternal. And so there's a shift in our values. There's a shift in our thinking and our way of life. Now, when Jesus kept saying we are not of this world, I think he is talking, I understand he's talking about the shift in our hearts and minds, that we are no longer part of the worldly system and worldly thinking, but we are part of the kingdom of God. Right? We know there are people groups that have taken this idea maybe a little bit farther. We're very familiar with Hutterite colonies. I was able to visit a number of them over the last couple of weeks with some bouncy castles. They're a big hit there. But we understand that they have taken some of this more literally and into the physical part of their life, where they have decided to separate from the world in such a way that they're a little more isolated. You can still say they're living in the world, but they're not. But they're trying to be not of the world. And I understand their thinking, and I appreciate the idea of what they're trying to do there. Even the idea of wearing similar clothing and not having owning things individually, but more as a group. That idea that, you know, we don't want status to become an issue amongst us. We want to practice modesty. And these are all Christian things. And there's things there that I admire. Some might question whether, and I've heard one of them actually say too, that but because they've separated themselves to the degree that they have physically, that they don't have the same, the same influence around of the people around them. Their light and their ministry has become somewhat limited because of their isolation. That is something for us to debate and look at. There is nothing I could find scripturally that says that we need to live together in colonies, but it does say we need to care for each other, need to be generous with each other. We see the New Testament church having everything in common, and they were helping each other with needs. We see that they were coming together in the name of Jesus on a regular basis. Do not give up meeting together, the scripture says. But at the same time, we need to live in this world. And we can do that, but not be part of the world, because our hearts and minds are living for God. And that is what we are looking at. So we're warned not to be misled, not to be influenced by those around us. There are different teachings, different ideas, different philosophies. There are many temptations. I guess putting it very plainly, we understand that if we are in an environment where there's bad language constantly around us, that can rub off on us. We understand that if we're in an environment of hatred, gossip, or unforgiveness, that too can have a negative impact on us. You know, I hear of workplaces where the men treat or talk about women as objects, and how they talk about women is just disgusting. And you can be part of that environment, and you certainly want to guard yourself against going there. The same way can be the opposite with women and wives man bashing husbands and men. It can be both ways. To be in the world but not impacted, not influenced, not let those things rub off on us. Complaining attitudes, people complaining about their employer or people that they work with, just hearing negative all the time. That is so addictive, isn't it? It just seems to find its way into our thinking, and we have to be so, so careful. We can be tempted to chase after the goals of this world, the money, the prosperity, keeping up with the Joneses, our selfishness or covetousness, our jealousy, wanting what everyone else has, losing perspective on the eternal and going after the temporary. We have to guard ourselves, not be in the world, but not of the world. When we've had the missionary from El Salvador, Scott Williams, he's been here a couple times and shared about their King's Castle ministry. They've talked about the gang activity in El Salvador, and how they are pulling in young children. They're so young, and they're indoctrinating them so young and bringing them into that worldly system. And their ministry has been trying to reach those young children before the gangs do, and to teach them about the Lord and bring them into the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of this world. And it's been a very effective ministry. But that's just an example of how we need to guard ourselves. There is a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, "Bad company corrupts good character." Have you heard that one before? We understand that what that means, right? As parents, we want our kids to hang out with the right kids, kids that will have a good influence on our kids. There's sometimes you want to say, no, I don't want you hanging out with that. Sorry. Yeah, and you feel bad saying that, but you do think that way because you know that because of their habits or some of their characteristics, you don't want that rubbing off on your kids. It's not saying that, no, you can't be friends with somebody or have a positive influence. You just, you know, you want to guard yourself from being influenced by them. There's an analogy, the thermometer versus thermostat analogy. Have you heard that one before? Thermometer, what does it do? It reads the temperature, right? Are you adjusting to the pace of the people around you, or are the people around you adjusting to your pace? Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? And it's getting pretty hot outside, and the thermometer is a device that will tell you how hot or how cold something is. And if it's hot, that's what the thermometer will say, right? A thermometer will fluctuate depending on the temperature of the environment. It allows what is around it to dictate its temperature, right? So whatever the temperature is around, that's what a thermometer will say. We're encouraged, and encourage all of us, young and old, our young people today, don't live your life like a thermometer. Live like a thermostat. And a thermostat sets the temperature in the room. A thermostat doesn't care what the environment says. A thermostat says, this is what the temperature is, and I'm calling everyone to meet that temperature. And the reason a thermostat is so powerful is that behind the wall, it's connected to a greater source. It's connected to a greater power. And you will be a powerful thermostat when you stay connected to the right source. That idea of being the reflection of Jesus and letting the spiritual mirror, letting the Word of God be our temperature setter, and being a thermostat in our world, not being influenced by them, but being the influence, right? Spending more time with the true mirror, the sanctifying true Word, spending time with Jesus. So as we hold up the mirror today, we can ask ourselves the question to measure whether we're a thermostat or a thermometer. Who do you live for, yourself or for God? To which kingdom do I belong, God's or the world's? Are my goals and ambitions for the here and now, or do I have an eternal perspective? Help us, Holy Spirit, to see clearly. I wonder sometimes when the world looks at the church if they see anything different than themselves. You know, I'm not judging here. I'm just asking the question. It's worth reflecting on. You know, if someone were to look at my life, does it look like I have the same goals and ambitions as everyone else around me? Or do they see that I have a different calling on my life? I think it's an important question to ask, and I encourage you to ask yourself that question this week and pray that the Holy Spirit would help us see clearly those things. There might be some bad influences in our life that we need to get out, and there might be some steps we need to take to say, you know what, it's time for me to step up and make the decisions I need to make and reflect Jesus as I need to, whether it be in my family, be in my workplace. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. You said very clearly that we are not of this world. As we put our faith in you, we become citizens of heaven. And there should be a natural transition in our thinking, in our living that happens. But Father, sometimes we allow things into our lives, and maybe we set our goals based on the world system instead of what your heart is calling us to. And so I'm challenged by that thought, that when someone looks at me, they should say, you know, you're living for different purposes than the rest of the world. What's going on in your life? And to be able to say, you know, my goal is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My goal is to lift up the name of Jesus. My goal is to plant treasure in heaven and not worry so much about the temporary things of this world. I pray that as we look at who you are, Lord, those things of this earth would not carry the same kind of value. But, Father, the things that you value would be the things that we value. Hallelujah, Lord. Pray, work on our hearts. Help us to see. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could take a few minutes this morning to share communion. I've asked Larry and Elise if they would come and distribute the emblems this morning. And as they pass those out, we'll just let Kelly just lead us for a moment here. You can sing along or just quiet reflection before the Lord. Prepare your heart. We take communion in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, the blood that was shed for us, the body that was broken for us. And if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we encourage you to participate. And we'll just let them pass that out. Everyone get served this morning? All right. Hallelujah, Lord. We do. We just take time to remember the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Last Supper, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Father, we do remember, or Jesus, we remember you. We remember from beginning to end, Lord, you had a journey, and you had an agenda to sanctify us. Hallelujah, Lord. You paid a great price for this, for us. We just give you thanks. Let's partake this morning. Cup as well, and gave thanks, and said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the new covenant." Take this in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for your shed blood, the life-giving blood. Amen. Let's partake this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you. We praise you. May our life reflect you this week. May your Holy Spirit be our help, our strength, our guide, our comfort, and our power this week, we pray in Jesus' name. We go in the name of the Lord. And all the people said, amen. Lord, bless you and keep you.